Have you ever noticed that once you get to know a person, you no longer see them for their height, their hair color, their eye color, their sense of fashion, their strengths or weaknesses, but you begin to see them through the eyes of love and friendship. You begin to see them simply for themselves. Yes, we see the differences. We see the blind spots and we see the struggles, but we don't put a value judgment on them. We simply see them as part of who they are. I've known this on a head level for a while, but have learned it in a whole new way this past year, learning it on a heart level. Last week, I referenced the community in which I live, and as I have read through and prayed about this scripture, I realize how much this community has shaped the way I read it. As I give you a little picture of where I live, I invite you, too, to think about ways in which your experiences, your relationships, and your communities have shaped the way in which you read this scripture. If you're in the area of Durham, near the Pit Barbecue or Full Steam Brewery, you might park your car along a street lined with pale yellow, earth gray, and dark blue houses, each with a brightly colored front door. Beginning in 2012 and slowly developing, this neighborhood, the North Street neighborhood, is located on North Street and Gear Street and Madison Northwood Circle. These 17 houses are owned by individuals who decided that they wanted to live together, sharing in life and working with each other, creating a neighborhood not for, but around individuals with disabilities. Some houses are occupied by families with a grown child who lives with a disability. Some are young families who have a spare bedroom that they rent out. Still others are young people just choosing to live together with and without disabilities. Many folks in the neighborhood have a tie to Reality Ministries, which is a nonprofit in Durham that works to provide support and activities for adults living with disabilities. It tries to break down the barriers that often exist. Now, connected to both Reality and Duke Divinity School, there are two houses in this neighborhood, the Friendship Houses, where Divinity students live, and this is where I call home here in Durham. In each apartment, there are three students and one friend who's about our age who lives with a disability. So in total, there are 12 students and four friend residents, each living with a disability. My roommate Jen lives with autism. She just says her brain works differently. And she is one of the most loving and most accepting people I know and has taught me so much already. Now, as I explain where I live, I sense a tension with myself, especially this morning, because of the word disability. Because I see my friends simply as themselves, a beautiful child of God. Yet I also realize that in order to explain, this phrasing is often necessary. However, throughout this year, I have time and again realized ways in which I am disabled, in which there are places where I need to learn, especially from my friends with different abilities. Now, I give you this picture because as I was thinking about the scripture on Friday morning, I'm sitting and waiting for the electric tea kettle to boil, and I saw a glimpse of God's grace. It was about 7:45 in the morning. My roommate Keegan and I noticed that our friend Jen's door was open. She was sitting on her bed awake, and it was 7:45, which is quite early for Jen. We commented on it. Jen laughed and laughed, explaining that her dad was coming to help her fix something, so she had to be awake. Her laughter was contagious, so we began to laugh as well. As Jen came into the kitchen, still laughing, She pulled out her pink bowl. She poured into it her peanut butter and chocolate Cheerios with chocolate milk on top. And she just stood there giggling. As she stood there, her giggling pierced through the early morning anxiety of our other roommate, Keegan. And Keegan told her, "Jen, you are a gift of God. You are a gift of God." Jen responded, "I know." Now, it wasn't the "I know" that I so often find myself saying. Yes, I know that's true. And I know that references an intellectual knowing. The "I know" that Jen often speaks into existence is one of a deep heart knowing, a knowing that she is loved, a knowing that she is a gift of God. God loves us. God loves each of us. We are each a gift of God. We are each given a new life and salvation, not by anything we can or will ever do, but by faith in Christ. Nothing we do or say changes the love that God has for us, the sacrifice that Christ made. What if we walked into each day with the deep heart knowledge of Christ's love for us? What if we walked into each day with the deep heart knowledge of Christ's love for every person that we would come into contact with? Would our relationships not look different? Would our lives not be freer? Sometimes it's hard for me to grasp that we don't have to do anything or be anything in particular to earn God's love and grace. We simply have to believe. I know it on a head level, but as a doer, accepting and knowing deep down in your heart, is harder. In a world that focuses on hierarchies and achievement, we don't have to do anything. Placing our faith in Christ, we are adopted into the covenant, into God's love and grace. We are made heirs of the promise made to Abraham. Jen and others in the community couldn't care less about the hierarchy of the world. They love and care for you because you're present, because you care. They know, deeply know, that they are loved by Christ, that they don't have to do anything to earn it. As Paul writes to the followers in Galatia, he's addressing a tension, a disunity. There's a division among the believers. There are those that are Jewish and that believe, and there are those that are Gentile, that are coming from the mainstream culture. The Jews are still following the laws and traditions, recognizing that they are part of who they are. In this community, the Gentile followers are being urged to adopt the Jewish laws. Yet Paul writes, sharing his disagreement with this teaching, sharing about Christ and salvation. Paul writes that while the laws were the disciplinarian of the people before, the laws were leading them to Christ. Now that Christ has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law, but are justified by faith in Christ alone. And all who believe are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There is no longer Jew nor Greek, no longer slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ. They don't have to do anything. They cannot earn their salvation. They just have to believe. Into the tension of the time, into the contrasting views of whether or not all should adopt these laws, Paul speaks love. As Charles Couser wrote in the commentary on Galatians, the unity that Paul declares is not one where differences vanish, but one where the barriers, the hostility, the chauvinism, and the sense of superiority and inferiority between respective categories are destroyed. Being in Christ does not do away with Jew or Greek, male or female, even slave or free, but it makes these differences before God irrelevant. The task of the church is to listen to Paul's revolutionary insights, to discover a fellowship which can occur only when all members are truly free. Just as Paul spoke into the tension and disunity of the followers 2,000 years ago, these words speak into the tension and the disunity today. How does the scripture speak to you this morning? What bits stand out? How do we live into each day in response? And how does the church, the body, live into the fact that these differences that we have are beautiful, and they are irrelevant before God? It has been beautiful to see this passage lived out here, from the warm welcome given on Sunday morning to the welcome statement on the front of the bulletin. Each recognizing differences and recognizing our unity in Christ. The doors here are open to all activities of the church for those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, without regard to gender, race, ethnic origin, worldly conditions, sexual orientation, ability, or any other human condition. Thank you for being a body that welcomes. In the ways in which the children are incorporated and have the opportunity to bring forward their own offering, thank you for being a body that recognizes that we each have something to give, that we each have something to learn. Our continued gift, our continued challenge, is the opportunity to live into each day with this knowledge, with this faith, with this love, and to share it. As I waited for the tea kettle to boil on Friday morning, as Jen poured her cereal amidst giggles, and as she asserted her, "I know," I couldn't help but see this scripture differently. No longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, rich or poor, young or old, abled or disabled, we could go on. We are all one in Christ. I couldn't help but pray, thanking God for the ways in which our eyes are opened, the ways in which, through Christ, we are loved, we are forgiven, we are made heirs according to the promise. No longer is it merely the y'all of Abraham's lineage. It is all y'all who have faith in Christ. All y'all are now heirs of the promise, made one in Christ Jesus. Amen.